One, I'm not sure how I find myself in these spaces. I've actually never spoken like this before. I've only given a few words of encouragement. So I apologise if I stick to my notes. But I've really loved working on this message today, and I hope that it brings encouragement to you. And I was thinking this morning, come on, you know, how you self-talk. I don't know if I'm the only person that self-talks, but what's the worst thing that could happen? And I thought my response might be, I could forget my notes, I could slur my speech. But no, the first thing that came into my mind when I said, come on, what's the worst thing that could happen? The worst thing that could happen is if you walk out of this building the same this morning. And my desire, my heart is that as I share this message this morning, that you will walk out of here closer to our Lord Jesus Christ, and that those walls will be broken down even more if you've got any walls up. And I want to thank Nola. I was feeling a bit nervous this morning, and Nola, your encouragement is amazing. And I know that you don't even know that she encouraged me this morning. Look at her. When she heard I was preaching, she came straight up to me and said, you know, how exciting that is, and that she just was really encouraging. And I just want to encourage you all to be like that, to encourage one another in our faith, and when we do step out of that boat and find ourselves in situations. I have had an amazing week this week, because after 3 years and 2 months, my braces finally came off. So that was really exciting. The gaps have filled that needed to be filled, and so I might sound a little bit different this morning. I'm still getting used to those braces off, but that was a really exciting part of my week. We are continuing on with the Come Holy Spirit series, but we're doing a little mini series, I believe, on extravagant. And today we're looking at extravagant worship. And I guess I'd love to know where your mind goes to when you think of extravagant worship. It is a challenge not to box it into something that we do here on a Sunday morning. And even though that is very much part of it, extravagant worship is so much greater than that. I actually Googled the meaning of extravagant, and it said exceeding what is reasonable or appropriate without restraint. And I came across these Google images also that may be a little bit too extravagant. I'm not sure if you had a gender reveal like that. Jackie may have with her dad's pilot skills. Bathroom. Wedding cake. My mother-in-law might already have shoes like this. Sorry, Jenny. And Joe may already present a dish such as this. And Zuriju, this may not be extravagant for you, but it is for me. I'm not actually sure why they've got the arrow there, as if we didn't know what was extravagant about that. I'd love that wardrobe. Never been in a plane like that. I'd love a gift like that, by the way. Oh, this is the last one. I love this because obviously this is an extravagant wedding photo, but I thought Sean and I were pretty extravagant to get into a boat on our wedding day, particularly if you know the story behind that boat. It was always lived in the river, so the tide would wash in and out. But we got it out, was it a couple of weeks or a month prior to the wedding? And what happened to the boat? It dried out. So when we finished our little outing in the boat on our wedding day, they had a fair bit of water in the bottom of it. So it could have been disastrous, but I think that was extravagant. Yeah. So I think you get the idea that extravagant is probably not the norm. And it can look a little bit different for each one of us. But let's look at the word worship. Like I said before, I think we can all agree that worship is not just something we do before the sermon. And worship is not just a churchy word. We've heard Sharon preach on this as well. We won't go into that because I know there's some St Kilda fans here or listening. But everyone worships something. And what we worship is whatever we place the highest value on. It's what we order our choices by. It's what we surrender our will to. And we can worship many things. Some people will worship a sport, a job, family. And it's often said that if you were to spend 24 hours with someone, you will know what they worship. And I think if we are Christians, if anyone was to spend 24 hours with us, surely they would know that we worship Jesus. Surely they would hear us speak his name, spend time with him, or do something that says that we worship him. So worship is our love expressed to God. It's our response to God for who he is, what he has done, and expressed by the things that we say and the way that we live. And worship is not based on if our circumstances are good or bad. We don't say, now God, you have done amazing things this week. You've come through with the goods. I'm going to worship you. No, God, you are good. It never changes, even if our circumstances fall apart. And if this is our framework, if this is what we truly believe, that God is a good God, then worship can always happen. I've had people say to me, this is a true story, I can't believe your faith and worshiping God is still strong after everything you've been through or perhaps everything that you've done. But my response is always that I'm not worshiping God for what I've done. I'm worshiping God for who I know he is and what he has done, not what I've been through. Because in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, it says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. There's a little bit more context around that verse, but it's telling us that worship is therefore a response in view of God's mercy. And in John chapter 4, Jesus declares that the Father is seeking those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. Wow, who would have thought that you and I can be the answer to God's search? From the beginning, God has been searching for worshippers. He created man for two reasons, for relationship and for worship. He desires to be in a relationship with us, and he desires worshippers. He invites us not only just to worship him, but to bring extravagant worship. I was talking with my dad about this message, and I quote, this is what he says worship to him is. Worship is the full package. It's how you treat your family, your neighbours, all people. It's about what we give and what we do with our money. The lifestyle we live, our priorities, that's all worship. I think he's on the money. And when we look at the Bible, there are many stories about extravagant worshippers. And we can even think about things that have happened in the past or are happening right around us now. But I want us to take a look at the woman who anointed Jesus with perfume in Matthew chapter 26. This was not a $20 bottle of perfume, perhaps bought from the reject shop. History tells us that this perfume possibly cost about one whole year's wages. And once she gave that, it would be gone, not replaced. But the woman was so thankful to Jesus. She wanted to show him extravagantly. She was criticized, though, for her extravagance by the disciples. But Jesus was pleased. And Jesus actually said, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. Right there, I'm a little bit challenged about the memory I am leaving. Will it be one of extravagant worship? Man, I hope so. But this passage is in all of our Gospels, but we're going to read it from Matthew and John today, and I've asked Sophia to help us out by reading this. Oh, you can bring the chair, that's fine.
Then Jesus went to Bethany, to the home of Simon, a man Jesus had healed of leprosy. A woman came into the house holding an alabaster flask filled with expensive, fragrant oil. She came right to Jesus, and in a lavish gesture of devotion, she poured out the costly oil, and it cascaded over his head, as he was at the table. When the disciples saw this, they were offended. "What a total waste," they grumbled. "We could have sold it for a great deal of money and given it to the poor." Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, "Why are you critical of this woman? She has done a beautiful act of kindness. You will always have someone poor whom you can help, but you will not always have me. When she poured the fragrant oil all over me, she was preparing my body for burial. I promise you that when this wonderful gospel spreads all over the world, the story of her lavish devotion to me will also be mentioned in memory of her." And from John 12, verses 1 to 8. 6 days before the Passover began, Jesus went back to Bethany, the town where he had raised Lazarus from the dead. They had prepared a supper for Jesus. Martha served, and Lazarus and Mary were among those at the table. Mary picked up an alabaster jar filled with nearly a liter of extremely rare and costly perfume, the purest extract of nard, and she anointed Jesus' feet. Then she wiped them dry with her long hair. And the fragrance of the costly oil filled the house. But Judas, the locksmith, Simon's son, the betrayer, spoke up and said, "What a waste! We could have sold this perfume for a fortune and given the money to the poor." In fact, Judas had no heart for the poor. He only said this because he was a thief and in charge of the money case. He would steal money whenever he wanted from the funds given to support Jesus' ministry. Jesus said to Judas, "Leave her alone. She has saved it for the time of my burial. You'll always have the poor with you, but you won't always have me."
Thank you, Sophia. Give her a clap.
Yes.
So you can see that this woman came in and did this act, and people didn't really understand the significance of why she did it. She leaned into Jesus and he said, what did he say? It was beautiful. Despite people judging her and thinking she totally did the wrong thing, she loved him for what he was about to do. This was just 6 days before he would give his life by dying on the cross for her sin. And Jesus had been talking about this over the past few months, and the disciples didn't get it, even though he said it quite plainly. But I believe Mary understood. She believed what Jesus said, and she was doing this for his burial. She knew what was coming. One of the Gospels or translations actually says she did what she could. She took most likely the most expensive thing that she had and she poured it on Jesus' head and his feet. But she didn't want it to go all over the place. So what did she do? She let down her hair and she rubbed his feet with her hair. That's going the extra mile. That's extravagant worship. And then what happened? The entire house was filled with the fragrance. Others said it was a waste. But all she was interested in was showing her love to Jesus. And over, like Jesus said, over 2,000 years later, we are still talking about this act of extravagant worship. And I have six, I hope we're doing okay today. I have 6 points that I want to share with you about what I feel extravagant worship is. And firstly, extravagant worship focuses on Jesus. When we worship, sorry, I knew that would happen. That's my braces coming off. When we worship Jesus, it is all about him. What he's already done for us, what he has prepared for us, what he's doing now. And I don't believe our focus can be on anything else. Otherwise, how can we worship when things are a bit tough in our lives? Secondly, extravagant worship flows from a grateful heart. And I love Matt's email during the week. I hope you are all reading those about having that posture of gratitude. A truly grateful heart focused on the wonderful person of Jesus Christ will cause us to sing, to praise, to shout, to leap or cry or serve or give. It will cause you to go the extra mile. And I really believe that the greater revelation that we have of what we've been saved from will mean we have a greater response in life of worship to Jesus. Thirdly, extravagant worship fears not the judgment of others. Someone once said, "Extravagant worship is impossible until my appreciation for forgiveness in Christ and my correspondent love for Christ supersedes my fear of what others think about me." Wiping feet with hair, pouring perfume over Jesus Christ, Mary didn't care what anyone else thought. When you choose to be extravagant in your worship, not everyone will understand. In fact, extravagant worship may make others feel uncomfortable. And when people feel discomfort, they do criticize, they do judge, they do reject us. Mary experienced harsh criticism, but it didn't stop her from giving her all to Jesus. I wonder if you've ever been criticized for how you worship, hopefully not how you sing, but how we live our lives. Have you ever been persecuted, judged, mocked, laughed at, kept distance from because of your faith in God? We need to remember that it's what Jesus says that matters. When everyone else was criticizing that extravagant act of Mary's, Jesus said, "This is beautiful." While the world's response to extravagant worship is judgment and criticism, Jesus responds by saying, "This is beautiful." Who are we listening to, church? What's your next step towards extravagant worship in not fearing what others think? Is it entering into corporate worship here on a Sunday morning boldly with shouts of hallelujah? Oh, no, hang a minute. They're going to think that I'm nuts if I raise my hand, if I shout hallelujah. No, do we really care? Who are we listening to? What will people think if I give away that much money to missions, to the poor, let alone our tithes? People might say, "That's crazy. Why would you do that?" But are we listening to the voice that says, "This is beautiful"? We see a great posture of a woman who gives everything away, despite what others think. And I believe this is one of the greatest pictures of worship that we see, no matter who is watching. Fourth point is extravagant worship happens when you do. Our devotion and worship to God must look like love in action. And I wonder what the people around us are seeing. Are they looking at us worshiping no matter what season of life we are in? Are they seeing us sold out to Jesus in every area of our lives? Are they seeing extravagant worship? To be extravagant in our worship, we must do. Fifth point this morning is extravagant worship. This one hurts a little bit. Extravagant worship is most likely going to cost something. What would your reaction, if you were sitting in that room with Mary, what would your reaction have been to see her used her prized possession on Jesus? Would we say, "What the heck? That's not a normal thing to do. That's weird"? It's probably even more weird with what she did it with, because I don't assume it was over the counter like a Calvin Klein or a Britney Spears or a Hugo Boss. It was good stuff. It was more likely to be a family heirloom, something passed down, something old, something very meaningful to her, perhaps something that was very significant to her. But Mary worshipped extravagantly by giving Jesus her treasured possession. Who knows? It may have been her life savings. The perfume described was kept in a sealed alabaster jar, and it was about a litre's worth. So there was a lot of money in that jar. But you know what? The cost didn't matter to Mary. She truly loved Jesus. He had changed her life. He'd saved her brother's life, and he had blessed her through his teaching. And she knew what was to come. She loved Jesus and was thankful for all that he had done. And before he left the earth, she wanted to express her worship to him extravagantly. What could she do to show Jesus how much she loved him? She could think nothing better than perhaps her life savings wrapped up in that bottle, put in that bottle of perfume, and she gave sacrificially. She gave extravagantly. He was going to give her life, his life for her. She wanted to give her life to him. I wonder how we're living our lives. Do we believe Jesus is worth our extravagant worship? Mary did, no matter the cost or what people thought. She believed Jesus was worth it all. She was all in. Extravagant worship is going to cost us something. My last point this morning is something that I believe the Holy Spirit has laid heavily on my heart. And this is tough. But extravagant worship, I really believe extravagant worship happens in even the hardest seasons. When I was thinking about worship, I guess we can think of worship being something, a joyful kind of a noise. And in some seasons, it is wonderful. We're laughing, we're dreaming, we're growing, and things are really great. But suddenly, a disappointment comes, rejection comes, tragedy comes. And it hits us hard because life's tough, yeah? But does that mean we stop worshiping? No. Sometimes extravagant worship contains the sound of suffering. Sometimes it means bringing songs of cries and pain to the God of grace. And I think, sadly, so many people turn away from the Lord when they are in pain, perhaps when they've sinned, perhaps when they're not getting the answers to the prayers that they are wanting. But if we push through those times, I really believe that's when it's extravagant worship. And let me tell you, I've had to do this many, many, many times in my journey when I really could have just given up. You know, through every season, we need to have a cry of worship on our lips and in our hearts because God deserves our worship. And I believe extravagant worship happens when life hurts. At the age of 8, I committed my life to the Saviour of the world, Jesus Christ. And throughout my journey, I have had many struggles to overcome, many lessons to learn, many sins of others to forgive, many sins that I really need forgiveness for, and countless religious ideas to unlearn. I'm sure you're with me there. But more importantly, I have come to understand and value the power of becoming someone who is committed to praising God at all times and whose passion for the King of Kings is unquenchable and whose single desire is found in Psalm Chapter 73, 25, verse 26, and it says, "Whom have I in heaven but you? I desire you more than anything on earth. My health may fail and my spirit may grow weak, but God remains the strength of my heart. He is mine forever." My heart's desire is that as God searches the earth, he will find me to be an extravagant worshipper. I've got a long way to go. That's my goal. I have seen extravagant worship in the hardest seasons many times, and there's a few I just want to single out today. I went to India on a mission trip, and I know there's a few others that have been to India on a mission trip. I know Dallas has. There's a few others that have been. I was only 18 when I went, but a long story cut short, we were in the villages, a long way from nowhere, And the government sent people to attack the Christians while we were there. We were meant to walk out in two groups, but someone was finishing off something, so we ended up having three groups walk out. And those of us from Australia were in the third group. The first two groups that were walking out, because we walked in with two groups, so we were seen walking in, they were attacked and they were injured quite badly. They required hospital treatment straight away. But you know what they did? Once we all caught up and we were sitting on the side of the road, they needed hospital care. Now, the hospital was hours away. Actually, a vehicle to even come and pick us up was hours away. But they got out their guitars and they sang and they praised the Lord. They had broken bones. They needed stitches. But they declared the goodness of God over their lives. Not only that, they were making sure we were okay. We weren't even injured. Our spirit might have been crushed and we were very sad and probably scared at that point. But that was their worship to God. How extravagant was that? Another time I've seen extravagant worship was when someone close to me was going through a great time of depression. And you know what the family wanted to do? They didn't want to run away from God, even though they possibly could have. They could have said, "Where are you, God? This is not fair." But they wanted to gather around my piano and worship and praise the Lord over their child. They wanted to declare the goodness and the favor of God over their child. Surely that's extravagant worship. Life was hurting for them. And I also think of our dear Anna, who passed away. Her season must have been incredibly hard, but there's an image of her that I will never forget. She was looking out to the sea, and she had her arm stretched out. And she was declaring the goodness of God. And she was worshiping extravagantly. Not because of what she was going through, but because she knew Jesus was worth her all. That's extravagant worship. There's a testimony and a song that was shared with me perhaps a year after Darcy became unwell. And the lyrics are on the screen. I think it's easy to sing when there's nothing to bring me down. But what will I say when I'm held to the flame like I am right now? I know you're able and I know you can save through the fire with your mighty hand. But even if you don't, my hope is you alone. I know the sorrow and I know the hurt would all go away if you just say the word. But even if you don't, my hope is you alone. You have been faithful, you have been good. All of my days, Jesus, I will cling to you, come what may. It is well with my soul. Wow, can we sing those words when we're going through a storm? That's extravagant worship. I remember when I heard that for the first time, tears running down my face, saying to Jesus, "I don't know how this is going to pan out." And it was only actually a few years after I'd hit rock bottom myself. But you know what? I said to God, "Because you are good, and I believe that despite the change in my circumstance, you are still good. You were good before, you were good during, and you're actually going to be good through every other jolly hard circumstance that I face in life, because that's the God we worship." You know, worshiping God in the good is easy. But what about when it's tough? What about when our circumstances don't change? I want to tell you that's when our worship is extravagant. God desires that and he is worth it. Don't run away from God when life gets tough like so many people have. Life will get tough. And on a side note, that's when we all need to come together and love on these people who are going through tough times. But let's declare that our worship won't just be a song, but it's going to be our lives in the good times, in the bad times, in the crappy times, in our workplaces, in our families, out on the streets. And I just want to wrap this all up today, if the worship team would like to come up. If I was to describe the depth of my worship this morning, would I use the word extravagant or would I use the word restrained? Have we developed a love for Jesus that nothing else in this world can come close to? Mary said to Jesus, "You are worth it all." Even though it looked wasteful, it was extravagant. She gave without hesitation. She gave with value. And I don't believe it's about the type of person we are. Personality doesn't matter. I really believe it's what we understand about grace and who our Heavenly Father is. It's about giving that little bit more and turning our everyday worship into something that could be considered extravagant. You may already live a lifestyle of worship, and I pray that we all do. But I wonder what your little bit extra is this morning to make it extravagant. In the passage we've been looking at, it says the house was filled with the fragrance. If people walked into your life, could they smell? Could they sense that extravagant worship? And I don't know what that looks like for you this morning, but maybe extravagant worship looks like forgiving someone. Maybe it means attending church regularly. Maybe it means giving money away to someone in need. Maybe it means getting your Bible out and spending time with the Lord, no matter what it costs, no matter if you're hurting or going through a storm. The enemy, one thing we need to be aware of is the enemy doesn't want us to be extravagant. He will give us an excuse after an excuse. But worship is our response to God because of who He is and what He has done. We were all created to worship, and if we don't worship God, we will worship something or someone else that in the end will not fulfill purpose here on earth. When life is tough, that's when we need to press in and worship. And if you're hurting today, I pray that you will press in and that you will give your worship to God. What one small shift will you make this morning towards extravagant worship? And lastly, my prayer is that we will be all able to sing and declare the song on the screen. All of my life. Oh, that's not it, but anyways. All of my life, in every season, you are still God, and we have a reason to sing, to worship extravagantly. So let's stand, and I'll ask Matt to come and pray. Thank you.